Y'all go ahead and turn to your Bibles. I'll be in Matthew chapter 14, towards the end of the chapter. My mom's here today. That's always cool. I don't get to see. Me and Mom don't get to go to church as often together anymore, so Mama, Morgan, I'm glad you're here. I love you both very, very much. Russell asked me to preach last Sunday, and I kind of felt like I had a message last Sunday, and Russell looked over and said, "Is it burning?" And I was like, "No, I really believe I'm okay." And he said, "Well, you'll preach next Sunday then." And it was like, "Oh boy," "You're fine." But we had all week long we had a thought last Sunday, and we never could get the scripture or be able to expound upon it in our mind all week long, and it was quite frustrating for me because it's like I want to be in control. I want to have hey Lord, what's the plan? I want to see what's going on. And he chose not to show me what was going on until about this morning. Me and Danny were talking about it when we came in, and it's just a greater test of your faith by God that He's got me this far in life. I've preached, I can't name the number of how many times I've stood, but the Lord has never left me to preach without scripture and without a thought. And in that, this morning and late last night, I was sitting there and I was nervous and I was like, really? Come on, I need this. I need to sleep tonight. And the Lord said, just go to sleep. Have peace. It'll be okay. I'll get you in the morning. And lo and behold, I wake up this morning and there's everything. And so I was like, oh, well, thank you, Lord. And I appreciate it. But if you want to turn to your Bibles, I'll be in the 14th chapter of the book of Matthew. I'm going to start reading in the 22nd verse and I'll read a little bit. So just bear with me. But before I get to reading the first part of this chapter, Jesus has fed the 5,000 men. He's fed all, and he broke the bread up, and it was only just a handful of just a very small amount of bread and fish, and he fed 5,000 people with it. He performs a wonderful, wonderful miracle there for a bunch of people, and then it starts in the 22nd chapter. It says, the 22nd verse of the 14th chapter. It says, and straightway Jesus constrained his disciples to get into a ship and go before him onto the other side, while he sent the multitude away. And when he had sent the multitude away, he went up into the mountain apart to pray. And when the evening was come, he was there alone. But the ship was now in the midst of the sea, tossed with waves, for the wind was contrary. And in the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went unto them walking on the sea. And when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were troubled, saying, it is a spirit, and they cried out for fear. But straightway Jesus spake unto them, saying, but be of good cheer, it is I, be not afraid. And Peter answered him and said, Lord, if thou bid me, come unto thee on the water. And he said, come. And when Peter was come down out of the ship, he walked on the water to go to Jesus. But when he saw the wind boisterous, he was afraid and began to sink. And he cried, saying, Lord, save me. And immediately Jesus stretched forth his hand and called him and said unto him, O thou of little faith, wherefore didst thou doubt? And when they were come into the ship, the wind ceased. And then they were in the ship, came and worshipped him, saying, of a truth, thou art the Son of God. And I believe that's all the scripture that we're going to read right now. We may flip in a couple other places, but we just want to follow the Lord this morning. But our thought being that Peter, I know exactly how Peter feels in that moment right here when it says, and when he saw the wind boisterous, he was afraid. Here he is, Peter. He's one of the first disciples of Jesus. He's followed Jesus through all this time, and it's not a very long period of time, but he's seen Jesus perform all these miracles before the people, and he's done all these marvelous things. He's fed 5,000 people. He's calmed the waves of the sea. He's done this. this, and he's done all these miracles, and Peter's watched every one of them. And no doubt, I've never seen miracles like that performed, but no doubt if Jesus was standing there and he was performing these miracles, I'd have a little bit of faith at this point that Jesus could do anything he wanted to do. And here they all know that Jesus is out on the mountaintop praying, and he comes, and it's in the middle of the night, and I believe there's probably just one disciple there just keeping watch, and he sees something afar off, and I can imagine that disciple, doesn't name which one it was, but I can imagine him being a little afraid, because hey, he's never seen anybody walking on the water before. He's never seen anything like that. He might have seen the miracles, but he's never seen anybody walking on the water before. And he calls the other disciples, and they all come up, and they come, "You got to look at this. You got to see this, whatever this is." And they're all standing there looking, and Jesus says, "Don't worry, it's me. Don't be afraid. It is me. It's I. Don't be afraid." And Peter, like I said, I understand how Peter is in this moment, because I'm the same way. He's seen all these miracles that Jesus has performed, and he says, "Well, by golly, let's see if he can do another one. How much better he can be. And Lord, if it be you, bid me to come under the water, and I'll walk right unto you." Jesus says, "Come on." He says, "Come." Peter, I believe, he hopped right over the side of the ship, and he started walking out to Jesus, and then there's a storm going on around him. And I believe wholeheartedly that right there where Jesus is at, and when Jesus starts walking out, he sees the ship, and he sees it in the middle of the waves, and it's tossed and the waves are crashing, and it's just a big storm. But I believe that when Jesus is walking, the water that he's walking on is just as peaceful and as calm as it could possibly be. And I believe that when Peter steps out of that ship, and the waves are just boisterous, and there's just storm, when he steps out in that water, I believe it's just as calm as it could possibly be. Because with Jesus, there's peace. With Jesus, there's joy that surpasses all understanding. And in that moment, Peter looks and he sees all the water's calm and the water's still right beside him. And he's like, "Oh, wow, this is amazing, this miracle that Jesus has performed. Not only is Jesus walking on the water, but Peter's here I am, I'm walking on the water too." And then I believe he gets a little confidence about him, and he starts maybe walking a little faster. He starts thinking, "Oh, I got this, I can do it, I can handle it." And then he starts looking around, and he sees the storm around him, and how it's crashing, and how powerful that storm is. And I believe he just starts to sink and see that he's not in control. He believes he can see the world around him and how it's just crazy and all the things are going on. And he starts to sink, and he cries, "Jesus, help me. Lord, save me." And Jesus is right there, and he pulls him up, and he says, "Oh, ye little faith." I don't know exactly how Peter feels in that moment, because in this day and age, the world is crazy all around us. We've got the media and everybody around us trying to create fear and stir up fear through politics, through a pandemic, through all kinds of things that is just fear driven, and we're all sitting here going, "Oh, what do we do? This world is so much bigger than us." But we have to remember that the one that the author of the universe, the one who spoke it into existence, he's already calmed the sea. He has control over all the elements of the world. He spoke it into existence. He is still in control. Jesus is standing there walking in the water just as peaceful as it could be. In my mind, I believe it, because he has control over it. With Jesus, there's a lot of peace to be had. And when Peter gets right there with him, it's peaceful. There's so much joy to be had, because Jesus is in control. The Lord is in control this morning, as much now as he was in the writing of the Bible. And as people, just like me and Peter, I believe we can tend to forget that. We can forget that in those moments that the Lord is bigger than us. The Lord is bigger than our problems. The Lord is bigger than who wins the election. The Lord is bigger than all kinds of crazy things. But in our mind, it's the boogeyman. It's the one this is going to happen, and it's going to change our entire world. Well, folks, it may happen and it may change our entire world, but that doesn't change who created our entire world. It doesn't change who gives us the peace that we have and the joy that we have. Because I'm telling you, I choose not to watch the news, and you can say, "Caleb, you're crazy. You should need to be informed," and that's all well and good, and I understand that. But I believe wholeheartedly that there's so much peace and joy that I have from not watching the news and just trusting in the Lord. And I believe, believe me, I get just as frustrated and aggravated about things that as anybody else, but there's so much joy and peace to be had when you know and you realize that no matter what happens, win, lose, or draw, sickness or in health or whatever it may be, the Lord is in control. The Lord has everything in the palm of his hands, just like he had Peter. When Peter started sinking, he said, Lord, save me. Jesus was right there to pull him out. He was right there to give him peace. He was right there to pull him up out of the water and throw his arm around him and say, I love you. It'll all be okay. There's nothing that I can't handle. That's what I feel. I can understand exactly how Peter feels in that moment, because in those moments, I've been in that exact place where I think I'm big and I think I'm bad and I can handle it on my own, and there's miracles going on and I'm walking on the water just purely by the grace of God, and I take my eyes off of him and start looking over here and looking over there, and I get afraid and then I just start sinking, because in that moment I think I'm not thinking how wonderful God is. I'm thinking about how small I am. That's how Peter was feeling in that moment. He was feeling so small because he saw this all going on, and he really had no control of the environment that was going on around him. He couldn't stop the waves. He couldn't stop the wind from blowing. He couldn't keep the ship afloat. But he knew Jesus could, because he'd seen Jesus do it already. In the 8th chapter of the book of Matthew, they get Jesus up out of the sleep, and there's this crazy storm going on, and Jesus wakes up and he goes out and rebukes the sea, and the Bible says there was a great calm. And then if you read on, I read a little bit further on that, and now when Jesus and Peter get back in the ship, there's another calm. There's peace to be had. There's when God's people are with God and in communion with God and are just trusting in him, there is great peace to be had. No matter what the outside of these walls, or not even out of these walls, but just outside of our community, outside of Silver City, outside of the Christian church, where we all can trust in God, there's a lot of things going on that we don't know and we don't understand, and we feel like that maybe there's just so much bigger than us as individuals. But I promise you, folks, I promise you, they're not bigger than the God Almighty, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. There's nothing. No, not one that's bigger than him that he can't control, because he's the author of the universe. I know I say that a lot, but it makes it big to me, because I can't speak anything into existence. I can't utter words and something happen. But Jesus said, or God said in the beginning, let there be light. And guess what? There was light. And that's how he did the rest of the world and the universe. And you're telling me he can't control who wins a presidential election? Or necessarily, if whoever wins the presidential election or whatever election, that's going to have a greater effect on me than the effect that God can have on me? Because that's the most important thing. He's more powerful than the president. He's more powerful than any king. He's more powerful than anything that there is to be, because he created all things. And we as God's people need to remember that no matter what happens, no matter how this world changes, no matter what goes on and what circumstances change in our individual lives, as bad as they may be, as good as they may be, there's none worse. There's none that are so bad that can't be fixed and controlled by God, and there's none better. There's none that will give you more joy and more peace than God. There's none of that. There's so many things in this world that can bring you just a little bit of happiness. There's, you know, little happies is what I like to call them. They're just little bitty things that put a smile on your face. Usually for me, it's like a Dr. Pepper. Every now and then I'll get a Dr. Pepper and I'm like, oh, wow, this is so good. And that's a little happy. But there's a big difference, church, between happiness and joy. Happiness is a side effect of joy. If you have joy, you will be happier more. But if you don't have joy, your lows will be lower. Your happiness will be the peak. Just the little happy of a Dr. Pepper that I get, that may be the tip top of the happiness I am that day. But with Jesus, my lows are nowhere near as low. And my peaks and the joy that I have are greater and grander than they were ever before, because I know that the one that I serve has the power and the ability to do all things. It may not be what I want it to do. Just like Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, as they go and they're about to get thrown, they tell the king Nebuchadnezzar, they say, we might die at your hands, but we're only doing it because that's what the Lord's allowing us to do. And I totally butchered that, I know. But he said that God is able to save us out of this. God is able to do all things, but that doesn't necessarily mean that he's not going to let us go through trials and tribulations. And that's okay, because that's a testing of your faith. Much like this morning, and I know it's a little test compared to Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, but when last night when I couldn't come up with scripture, it was a test of my faith. Do you trust me, Caleb? Do you trust that I'm going to be there for you? Even though it may not be when you want me to be there for you, but just know that I'm not going to leave you hanging. Just know that in the moment when it's required, I will give it to you, and it will be the only thing that you need. Because he does love me. And it may not be exactly what I want, but it's what I need. He loves us. Church, he doesn't just love me. I want you to know that. He doesn't just love us preachers. He doesn't just love the deacons. He loves the whole world. That he sent his son to die for us, to die for the whole world, that whosoever believeth in him might be saved. I believe that with all my heart. I believe that with Jesus, life is greater and grander. And I'm not saying that you're going to have money and things of this world, but I believe that the peace and the joy that you have through the love of Jesus Christ is greater than the riches of this world, because I know it to be true. And you can say, Caleb, that's crazy. But I'm telling you, the love that Jesus has for us in the whole entire world is worth everything that this world has to offer. It's worth more than the world could offer. It's the greatest gift I've ever received. It's the greatest gift that you could ever receive. If you've never received Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, and you're sitting here going, what are these preachers talking about? They're all crazy. They'd rather have Jesus than money. I'm telling you, there's no greater gift. There's nothing more valuable to me, because I know that even though I mean, you could take Caleb and you could say, Caleb, you're the filthiest person in the history of the world. You're as nasty as anyone that's ever lived. And I'll tell you, you're probably right. Why would Jesus die for me? Because he loved me. It doesn't matter what you've done. It doesn't matter it doesn't matter about any of those things. He loves you. He truly does. He loves you so much. He wants you to have the peace that Jesus can provide. The peace that he provided Peter there with. He wanted to give that. He wants to give that to the whole world. And he's given it to me. He's given it to Russell. He's given it to Danny. Well, the peace that we have, the same peace he gave to Peter is the same peace he wants to give to you this morning. I firmly believe that. He's as good as it gets. There's none better. All of heaven was searched and none were found worthy except Jesus. I believe that's all the Lord would have us to preach this morning. Y'all want to grab a song? Jesus tells them in the 16th chapter of the book of John. I'm going to just read it because that was the little happy I got earlier in the week whenever I just needed some scripture, and the Lord said, just read this and be happy. And I said, okay. Jesus says, these things I have spoken unto you that in me you might have peace. In the world you will have tribulations, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. What's your number?